You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Bear One Another's Burdens. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 says, Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That makes me feel good. That verse says that other people should help me to bear my burdens. And I'm a burden to many people. Sometimes I sense that my wife is in a bad mood. Diane, what's troubling you? I ask. No answer. I pester her. Diane, tell me, what's the problem? Finally, she says, you're the problem. Sometimes I am a burden to my wife. I'm a burden to my children, although they don't come out and say it. Daughter Elizabeth is a freshman at college. Dad's a burden because I'm not as much fun as her friends at the university. My youngest daughter, Katie, is an eighth grader. She's at that stage of life where Dad is a burden because I don't know anything. Friends, it doesn't stop there. I'm a burden to all the people in my town of Collinsville. Those people have to pay money so that we have fire trucks, ambulances, police cars, and all sorts of other city services to help take care of me. And there's more. I'm a burden to all of you taxpayers in the United States. I'm probably burdening you in Canada and in the Caribbean and Africa, too, but the Americans are paying tax dollars to buy missiles and submarines and aircraft carriers to protect me from an enemy. I'm a burden on almost everyone. But then, you are burdening me, too. My wife Diane is sometimes a burden on me, but that's all right. I love her. My children are burdens on me. That's all right. I love them. I'm glad to be burdened with children. Someday, in the future, they'll understand. My fellow residents in Collinsville are burdens on me. But that's okay. I'm glad to pay my local taxes to buy fire trucks. And I'm glad to pay my federal taxes to buy F-16s or F-18s or whatever for our mutual protection. After all, we're all in this together. You see, we are all burdens to one another, and we should gladly be burden bearers. God's word says, bear one another's burdens. The word of God gives us the motivation to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? In John 13, verse 34, Jesus says, I am giving you a new commandment. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. I trust you know how Jesus loved us. John chapter 15, verse 13, no one has greater love than this, that a person lay down his life for his friends. Jesus demonstrated the fact that God loves you. He did that by dying on Calvary's cross so that your sins are all forgiven. Isaiah 53 says, surely, He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. A favorite hymn of many Christians puts it this way, But when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. God loves you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ demonstrates that God has removed the burden of your sins. I mean all your sins, especially that sin that keeps plaguing your conscience. By restoring his son to life, God demonstrated that he had accepted Christ's sacrifice on Calvary for your sin. By the resurrection, God announced the forgiveness of your sins. Your conscience can be calm. Now no condemnation remains for those who are in Christ Jesus. By the resurrection, God's word to you is life and hope. There is no hopeless situation for a Christian. There is nothing ahead of a believer in Christ except eternal life. God in Christ lifts the burden of guilt from your conscience and gives you hope and life. Now the Savior wants you to share that with others. So he says, bear one another's burdens. Specifically, Galatians 6 verses 1 and 2 say that we should bear the burden of helping one another to resist temptations to sin. Here's what the text says. My fellow Christians, if a person is caught in the trap of some sin, let those of you who are spiritual set that person right again in a gentle manner. At the same time, keep an eye on yourself, so that you also are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Thus, you and I, who are burdens to one another in various ways, and who gladly bear various burdens because of Jesus, also have the burden of helping one another resist temptations to sin. We can do that in the current discussions about euthanasia. The proponents of mercy killing use many phrases that seem appealing, but in fact, those phrases are deceptive. One of those appealing but deceptive phrases is today's word, burden. Do you want to be a burden to other people? The proponents of euthanasia ask. You're supposed to say no. But that seemingly harmless assumption that you don't want to be a burden makes for more problems than you might imagine. For example, the proponents of euthanasia say, you don't want to burden your family, do you? Now let's say that you are told that you are in the early stages of Alzheimer's, or that you are told that you have a cancer that is not easily treated, or that you are told that you have some debilitating illness that is going to make your life more difficult, or some other diagnosis along those lines. Let's further say that you have uncritically accepted the proposition that you shouldn't be a burden to your family. Then it becomes logical to consider assisted suicide. After all, why should your family have to go through all the expense and trouble of caring for you? My answer is, assisted suicide is wrong. Your family should care for you in your terminal illness because that's what family is for. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you remember how the family began? God saw that the first man, Adam, was alone. It's not good that the man should be alone, God said. I will make a helper suitable for him. So God made someone to help him bear his burdens. Family is about burdens and burden bearing. Deny that, and you're denying one of the divine purposes for the family. What's more, God promises to help you as you care for one another, even in the great stresses of terminal illness. In Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, I am with you always. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has taken hold of you other than that which any human being can expect. And you can trust God. He will not let you be tested more than you can stand. So the diagnosis of a terminal illness should not make you consider assisted suicide. Rather, it should draw your family together to help and care and love for one another. In that way, the burden is borne and the law of Christian love is fulfilled. Christian love in a family means talking with one another. Colossians 3 says, as believers then, whom God has chosen and loved, dress yourselves with tenderheartedness, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with one another, and forgive one another. Let Christ's word live richly in you, as with all wisdom you teach and warn one another by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So being in a family means bearing with one another. It means speaking the love of Christ. It means speaking with one another about death in the light of Christ's resurrection and the wisdom of the Holy Scriptures. That's especially true in a time of terminal illness, or when you're anticipating the day when some difficult medical decisions will have to be made. You and your family should talk about how you want to be cared for when serious illness comes, and then when death is approaching. Of course, you might shy away from such talk. After all, you don't want to burden your family with such morbid talk, do you? Yes, I think you do want to burden the family with such conversation. Remember, family is there to bear with one another. Remember, too, that if you know Jesus Christ, the discussion shouldn't be morbid. The Christian always has hope. The Christian always knows that life is ahead. Think, what will happen if you don't talk about how you want to be taken care of? While most people die alert and not hooked up to machines, you don't know how it will be for you. So your family should know your wishes for treatment and your hope and confidence in Christ. If they don't, and if you are not able to communicate, they will be haunted by uncertainty. Would Dad want this treatment? Would Mom want to be hooked up? Your family will try to do what's best, but if they don't know your wishes, they could be haunted by uncertainty. Your family could also fall to arguing. This is what we should do, says one family member. No, responds another. Dad or Mom wouldn't want that. I think I know what they'd want. Your failure to talk ahead of time about your wishes could leave the family feuding. You don't want that either. Your family could feel guilty. Did we make the wrong decision? Why did we have to argue about it? Guilt is a terrible legacy to leave to a family when a Christian has life and hope that is based on the forgiveness of sins. So you really do want to talk about how you should be cared for. If you don't know the important questions to ask, a pastor can help you. In fact, I'd suggest speaking with a pastor before you rush off to a lawyer and hastily get a living will. A living will is a legal document. Much depends upon how a living will is worded. But some of the common terminology is not what a Christian would want. Many living will documents assign the authority to make treatment decisions to the attending doctor. You may be attended by many doctors. One of your attending doctors may believe in euthanasia. Do you want to shut your family out of the process by giving an unknown doctor the authority to decide how or if to treat you? Many living wills use this phrase, if I should have a terminal illness. Now, a terminal illness is different than imminent death. When death is imminent, you need not prolong the process of dying with machines. But terminal illness is different than imminent death. I've known many people with terminal illnesses who had a lot of life left in them, and they lived that to the full. Remember, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation when you know Jesus Christ and His life. Do you want to give a doctor, perhaps one you don't know, perhaps one who favors mercy killing, the authority to do whatever he wants before death is imminent? I suggest you do some consulting with a pastor before getting into all the gray areas of a living will. Something better than a living will is a durable power of attorney. This document designates a person whom you know and trust to make health care decisions for you. This is better than a living will, but again, you'll want to be cautious. And again, speak with a pastor. You can also speak with other Christians who have researched these issues. These are difficult issues, and the answers are not always clear-cut and easy. Thank God for the people who have taken the time to study end-of-life issues in the light of God's Word and our certain hope of life in Christ. These are people like Lutherans for Life, with their national office in Arkansas. There are other similar organizations where Christians are helping you and me bear the burden. They are doing that by exposing the deceits of the euthanasia movement and by applying the wisdom and hope of God's Word to this difficult topic. Thank God for these people. Let's talk with them and with our families about these difficult end-of-life issues. Jesus himself talked about the end of his life. Time and again, he instructed the disciples that he was going to die. He told them how he was going to die. Jesus told them why he was going to die, to forgive all our sins. Best of all, Jesus said that after 3 days he would rise again. Because Jesus lives, we shall live also. Jesus Christ is the motivation when you or one of your family members journeys through the valley of the shadow of death. Because of Jesus Christ, we say confidently with St. Paul, I consider our present sufferings to be unimportant when I compare them with a glory soon to be revealed to us. Jesus Christ, your living Savior and your help in every time of need. Jesus Christ is the one who helps us bear one another's burdens. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.